A couple weeks ago, the boys and I were working cows. And we had a couple of cows that were unusually rambunctious. And I didn't realize it till the next morning. But I twisted my knee and everything was good until I woke up on Sunday morning. And I literally am like hobbling and I'm literally hurting and I'm literally up here preaching on drugs in pain. And however, if I move the wrong way, it wasn't praise coming out my mouth. It was a wince because, ow, and literally, and when if I go upstairs or downstairs today, there's still pain in my knee. I don't know what I did, but I hurt it bad. When pain comes into your life, when hurt comes into your life, how do you respond? The tendency is to complain. The tendency is to bellyache. The tendency is to focus on you and your pain and your hurt. We find a better way to deal with pain from Job. Job, probably the oldest book in the Bible, written before Genesis was written. We're not sure the exact date, and we're not sure the exact author. Bible scholars think it could have been Moses. Job lived between 4 and 5,000 years ago. He's introduced in verse 1 as coming from the land of Uz, somewhere in the Arabian desert. He's not an Israelite, and there is no lineage given for this guy by the name of Job. We know he's a prosperous farmer, thousands of sheep and camel and other livestock. He is blessed with a large family. He's a real man. If you go to Ezekiel chapter 14, we're told that he is one of the great men of the Old Testament alongside Daniel and Noah. But what I want you to see this morning, how to deal with pain, how to deal with betrayal, how to deal with hurt. Because all of us are going to have to deal with it. Three truths to relieve the pain and the loss in your life. Sermon I've entitled, Turning Wounds into Worship. First truth we see, Job 1:1. Notice the purity of Job. Job 1:1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. So the character of Job was impeccable. You see, it says he was perfect. It just means he was blameless. It means he was above reproach. Nobody could make an accusation against Job because he lived his life in such a manner. Says he was upright. It means he was straight. It means he was dependable. It says he feared God and he eschewed, or he turned away or ran from evil or ran from sin. Perfect refers to his relationship with himself. He was honest inside and he was honest outside. Fear God has to do with relationship with God. He was upright and eschewed evil had to do with his relationship with others. Job, his talk matched his walk. This was not man's assessment of Job. It was God's assessment of Job. God, in response to his life, he blessed him. You say, how did he bless him? Look at verse 2. There were born unto him 7 sons. And 3 daughters. God blessed him with children. Now let me just pull over and push some of our younger couples. The world would tell you need to have 1.5 children. I don't know how you have 1.5 children. Have a lot of babies. Bible says be fruitful and multiply. If we are going to spread the gospel through living people, we got to have more babies. So, have more babies. That's all I'll say about that. God blessed him with children. 7 sons, 3 daughters. Look at verse 3. God blessed him with possessions. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke, that's 2 oxen, that's 1,000 oxen, 500 she asses or donkeys, a very great household. So when people rode down the road and they saw Job's house, they were saying, man, that's the biggest house around here. Notice the last phrase. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Understand this. God rewards the lives of those dedicated to him. He teaches a blameless life is a blessed life. So Job was blessed abundantly because he was dedicated to God and serving him. So if you're here today, well, I just don't have time to read my Bible. Just not that into church. You understand that you are hurting the blessing of God because it will not be on your life. Blessing always follows blameless living. And these are not just suggestions in Scripture. They are commandments, and they're the way of blessing. Now, notice this. Job was a busy farmer. He had animals to feed, cows to feed, and cows to water. There were crops to plant. There were fences to mend. And yet, he made God a priority. Look at verse 5. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, Job sent and sanctified his children, rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. He was not a mediator for his children. He wasn't going and saying, hey God, I'm going to make a deal with you so that you overlook. He was an intercessor for his children. You say, what does that mean? He prayed for his children. You look at the last part of it. Thus did Job continually. He prayed and he sacrificed for his children. Every person in here, you need to be praying for your kids. Every day. You need to be praying for your grandchildren. Every day. There is nothing, some of you are going to leave them all your money. They don't need your money as much as they need your prayers for them. Pray for those grandchildren every single day. He exemplified it. They would see Job on his knees praying for them. They would see Job putting God first. He exemplified God in his life before his children. The purity of Job. Look down at verse 11. Notice the problems of Job. Job lived a life of poverty, and yet he suffered greatly. Salvation does not immunize you from trouble and from suffering. Paul went to prison while he was serving Jesus. Daniel went to the lion's den while he was serving the Lord. So Job is minding his own business. And Satan comes to God and says, I want to touch Job. Look at verse 11. Put forth thy hand and touch all that he has. He will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy hand, in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Notice that phrase. All that he has is in that power. What power? It would amaze us how many times God has allowed Satan to come and test us. Job has no clue what's going on, but he is being tried and he is being tested by Satan himself with the permission of God. Look at verse 13. And there was a day, sons and his daughters were eating, drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Just having a family hangout time, having a good time, verse 14. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans were thieves, fell upon, captured them, took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Not by chance one got away. Satan wanted to drive a stake into Job's heart before he could recover from losing all of his donkeys and all of his oxen. Verse 16. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. I only am escaped alone to tell you. The messengers, they're just lining up. Job's spiritual. Job is the best man in the whole area. They're lining up. Bad news. Bad news. Verse 17. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away. Yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Job is now very poor. His donkeys are gone. His oxen are gone. His sheep are gone. His camels, very expensive in that day, are gone. And he sees coming down the road another messenger. Verse 18. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters. Can you see Job put his hands over his ears and say, no, no, I don't want to hear it. No. Look at the verse. Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, probably a tornado, and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell you. You see the depths of wickedness from Satan. To attack with such immediacy after God gave him permission and with such severity of attacking at all. Martin Luther said, for still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and his power are great. Armed with cruel hate on earth is not his equal. In a moment, Job goes from being a wealthy man with 10 children to being a bankrupt person sitting in front of 10 caskets. After taking everything that he had, Job is sitting there. How is he going to respond? Is he going to bellyache? Is he going to curse God like Satan said he would? What's he going to do? Purity of Job. Problems of Job. Thirdly, notice the praise of Job. Look at verse 20. Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground. Imagine the torment that he is feeling. He's lost everything. Oxen, camels, donkeys, sheep, servant, children. Job is standing over 10 freshly dug graves. Satan is straining his ear for cursing, for blasphemy, for assaulting God. What does Job do? Says, he arose. He rent his mantle. It was a robe worn by men of social standing in ancient times. To tear the robe was a gesture of extreme grief. He shaved his head. It was an ancient custom symbolizing great pain and great agony. He falls on the ground, showing humility and showing submission. Children gone. Everything that he had was gone. Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground. Notice the next two words. And worshiped. Worship, that doesn't go with losing everything. Instead of assaulting God, he adores God. Instead of blaspheming God, he blesses God. Job, we don't understand this. Remember, Job has no clue what's going on between God and Satan. No clue of the spiritual warfare. He's just a normal everyday and loses it all. Pause on this story. How do you respond when pain comes into your life? Hurt comes into your life. Injustice comes into your life. If we're honest, most of us would say, we gripe, we complain, we say, woe is me. We say, this ain't fair. We say, God, what are you doing? Our first response is not worship. Our first response usually is not praise and adoration. What would cause a man who's lost everything to bow down and worship God right after it happened? Verse 21. And he said, naked came out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see it all through that verse. Job, who's in control of nothing, recognizes God's sovereignty. God is in control. I'm not. He points to two events, two stages of life, birth and death. He has no control over either. The question, what happens between birth when you got here with nothing and death when you leave here with nothing? And Job says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And you just trust him. Notice, through all the loss, Job is seeing the hand of God. The Lord gave. Through all the loss, Job is trusting God. So I'm here to say, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what the struggle is. Trust God that he gives and he takes away. And our job is just to bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, bless him. Bless him when we understand perfectly. When we don't understand whatsoever. Here's what I find interesting. You look back up, verses 12 through 17. The secondary agent didn't matter to Job. He didn't say, I'm going to go find those Sabaeans, and I'm going to go find those Chaldeans. Steal it from me, I'm going to cut their head off, and I'm getting my animals back. Secondary agent. Listen to this. Secondary agent didn't matter. He saw God's hand working in spite of the bad actors in the situation. I challenge you. When you go through times of hurt, when you go through times of loss, when you go through times of upheaval, don't be attacking the secondary agent. Trust the Lord. Trust God that he is working. This is not flippancy. He's like, well, what will be? No, this is not flippancy. This is faith that God is in control. God's going to bring good out of it. Job says, I'm just a steward. God gave it to me. He lent it to me, but it's his stuff. And he has the right to take it back. His property? Lord owns it all. Cattle, flocks, herds, God created them. Children were a gift from God. So therefore, I'm not cursing God when he chooses to take them back. He saw and recognized the hand of God. Now let me get into your business. Some of you are mad. Some of you are mad at people. Some of you are mad at organizations. Man, they did me wrong. They mistreated me. Secondary agent. God allowed it. You need to trust him. Trust his sovereignty. God, you blessed me when you gave me stuff. And I'm trusting that you're blessing me by even taking away and it hurts. He said the Lord gave. He didn't say I earned it all. He didn't say all my hard work gone up in smoke. He said all of it was a gift from God. Didn't say all the care of those sheep and the expense of those camels. God gave them to me. And I'm going to trust him when he seems to take them back. Look at verse 22. Huge verse. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. In all this, he didn't sin, notice the last part, or charge God foolishly. If I lost everything, everything I owned went up in smoke, or people took away from me, I'm going to be pretty unhappy camper. I'm going to be mad at government. I'm going to be mad at the thieves. The government should have been there protecting me. That's their job. I'm going to be making phone calls to the right people. I'm going to say, God, are you mad at me? In all this, Job sinned not. Nor charge God, notice the last word, foolishly. Anytime we charge God, make accusations against God, it's foolish. So how do I do that? You got to trust the sovereignty of God. What that means is he's in charge, we're not. And we got to trust him with stuff. That doesn't mean that we don't work. It doesn't mean that we don't deal with problems when they come. It means we do what God says, even when things are not going our way. Trusted the sovereignty of God. Someone has said, the more we trust the sovereignty of heaven, the less we fear the calamities of earth. So Job, you would think he would be singing the blues. He's not singing the blues. He's blessing his Savior. Do you see? The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. He's recognizing the lordship of God. You're in charge. I'm not. I don't understand it, but I'm praising anyway. Biblical faith doesn't deny reality. But it sees, biblical faith sees something that is bigger than physical reality, and that is God. Biblical faith says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's biblical faith in the sovereignty of God. Biblical faith is Job. Job 13, verse 15. This is biblical faith. Though he slay me, yet I'm going to trust him. So can I get in your business again? What has turned your world upside down? You pouting about it? You cussing about it? You mad about it? Or are you praising God, I praise you even through this. Because you're God, and you're in control, and you're going to bring good out of this awful situation. Job,
having lost all his possessions, rather than cursing God, sings, "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold." He's singing and praising God in the midst of loss.
Do you do that?
Job, his kids are taken. All of them. The seven boys, all right, they're gone. But those three girls, don't you know his heart was ripped out? Job, how are you going to respond to that? I've lost all my 10 children. How's he going to respond to that? Rather than cursing God, he sings, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billow roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul." Richest man in the world, Elon Musk. He's approaching being a trillionaire with a T. He's not there, but he's approaching it. Imagine Elon Musk, guy who everybody claims is so smart and brilliant, started all of this stuff. He lost it all in one day. Everything. Tesla's gone. The Starlink, John, all of those creative things that he's done, gone. How do you think Elon Musk is going to respond? I don't know him, so I don't know how he would respond. Can I give you a better example? How about you? Doctor comes and says, "It's terminal. There's nothing we can do." How are you going to respond? You going to bless? Are you going to curse? Kids, turn and walk away from everything that they know is right and how they were raised. You're going to go against the secondary agent, or are you going to praise God anyhow? The employer says, "I'm sorry, we don't need your services at this job site anymore." How are you going to respond? True faith is exemplified. Not when everything is great, when you're the richest person in the East, when you got everything going your way. True faith is when your world has been turned upside down. And you say like Job, "Though he slay me, I'm still going to trust him. And I'm still going to praise him."